All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is 5-time All-Star, Stanley Cup champion, and left winger of the Legion of Doom, John LeClair. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's going on, Nasty?
What's up, Riggs? How you doing, brother?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Enjoying the heat and the playoffs.
And the playoffs. Speaking of heat, holy
crazy,
cow.
Eh? A little electric. Crazy.
Yeah, lots of action, man. It's been fun to watch so far. I know we're only one game in each series, but it's been awesome.
Yeah, that's the truth. Some fire. I've caught, you know, bits and pieces of a couple of these games. Caught the Landeskog Schenner Tilly last night. I'm seeing is some good energy. And I guess you said it's only one game deep, but looking forward to the rest of it.
Lots of OT games too, which is, I mean, I love that personally. A lot of people just want to go to bed, but man,
yeah,
OT like has you on the edge of your couch, man.
Just, oh yeah, nothing better.
It's awesome.
Just got to play these games a little earlier so I could actually stay up late enough to watch some of these endings.
You're getting through the first periods of games, so that's
pretty
right.
Much.
I'll just tell you what happens, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You can get the text message in the morning. But how about the full barn in Carolina?
Dude,
that's pretty amazing.
I honestly, this is how crazy. So I was flipping around. I went to it and I actually thought it was a last season or a year before, like just something from years before. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is right now. Oh, it was awesome.
It's crazy. Awesome. Yeah. Finally. Right. You get that energy back in the barn. Yeah.
And that's a home ice advantage right there for Carolina. That place was, they were going nuts, man, the whole game.
Oh, man.
That is a fun place when your team's good.
Yeah.
North Carolina, because it's not a place where you normally go and there's like 12 to 13,000. But when they make the playoffs,
oh, yeah.
It's like Florida. Florida's the same way, the Panthers.
Yep.
You know, when they were in the playoffs those years, like it gets loud, and sometimes they're just cheering to cheer. They may not know, you know,
it's entertainment to them, right?
Exactly. So it's just awesome because it's so loud. And even in Vegas, I know they dropped their first game, but when that place is sold out, I'm not sure everyone understands the game totally just because it's new there, but it's loud the whole time.
It's the loudest
building I've ever been in, man.
It's energy, right?
It's energy. Exactly.
Right on. Well, I think we should, cut the playoff talk short here today. We'll be talking more about this as the series move on. But we got an awesome guest here, John LeClaire. So I think it's time we just jump right in and talk with the big dog.
All right. Well, this episode with John LeClaire, episode number 23, is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. It's playoff time, big stakes, bigger promotions. It's time to hammer the over and score some cash. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you a chance to lower the over-under on a featured playoff game. All players who place a bet on the featured basketball game will have a hand in lowering the over-under on the game. That's right. For every 1,500 players who bet the over on the selected game, the over-under will drop by 1 point. That's a lot, Riggs. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's a lot.
Every bettor who hammers the over in the featured game helps to lower the game's over-under. The best part is that even as the line lowers, the odds remain at even money, which is huge. That's right. You can double your money by hammering the over. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to hammer the over. For every 1,500 people that bet the over in the featured game, the line will decrease by 1 point. Yes, this is your chance to improve the odds of the over hitting. So tell your friends and family, this is a team effort. Hammer the over and improve your odds of doubling your money. That's promo code Knuckles for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. Max $25 wager, one per customer. Offer ends 5/23/21 in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we are pleased to have the first American-born player in the NHL to have 50 goal seasons 3 years in a row. Big Philly fan favorite, JL, Mr. John LeClaire. What's up, Johnny?
How much, guys? Hey, thanks for having me.
Appreciate having you joining us, man.
Good to see you.
What's going on, man? What are you up to?
Not much, you know. Yeah, obviously, I think with everybody else, you know, spend a lot of time at home, getting the lawn looking as good as possible, that kind of stuff. You know, it's been nice that it looks like we're, you know, a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel here. We're almost there. So, you know, I think everybody's getting excited about that. So it's been good. It's been good.
That's awesome, man.
Nice. You got your roots planted in Delco?
Yeah, they are. We've been in Haverford now for, Christ, 20 years or plus or whatever. We've been here a long time. You know, I like it. You know, we got a lot of friends in the area, and it's a great place to live. I've enjoyed it. You know, it's been nice. People are great. You know, Delco's getting some much love lately between the mayor of Easttown, and there was another movie that came out. A couple of my buddies, Delco buddies, told me about it. It was on Netflix or something. Being Delco is not as bad as you guys make it out to be.
Hey, my daughters live over there, man. I know the area. They went to Haverford, so I know where you are. It's nice over there for sure. Rumor has it you've been playing a little men's league hockey.
I do, I love it. I'm having a ball. I'm fortunate enough. I hooked up with a group of guys, and it's the same group of guys we play every week. They're all a lot of fun to hang out with and just be there and stuff. But, you know, when I retired, I didn't play. I was like, I had enough of this shit. I don't need it anymore. I'm done. And they had that outdoor game with all the alumni played.
Yep.
And I'm like, kind of want to play in that. It'd be kind of cool to play outdoors in the stadium and all that. So I had to get my fat ass going and get on ice and kind of do something. And I found out that I like it. It's fun to play and just kind of screw around and have some fun. And it's frustrating because you can't do the things you want to do anymore. I mean, you know, you used to be able to get to that puck and be able to, you know, stick handle and stuff, and things just don't work like that anymore when you don't play every day or whatever. But it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had some buddies telling me that I think John LeClair is playing over at the stadium, or I don't know which rink you're at, but that's what someone told me. And I was just like, I wonder if he's using the same curve as he did when he played. He's still using those sticks?
I am. Same sticks. I mean, I'm a dinosaur, but I'm not that big of a dinosaur. Sherwood's been good to me. They still send me some sticks, so I curve them up, and I still got – pretty much the same curve going. Yeah.
Do guys you play with in the men's league, like, look at that thing and he's like, holy shit, man.
No, you know, like I said, it's a group of guys. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
And what are they going to say?
I don't mean like giving him shit. I just mean like, it's Riley. I don't know if I've ever shown you one of his sticks, but I mean, you look at it and you're like, holy fuck, man, this thing, it could, yeah, I think you could play right or left handed with it. The way
it's turned, but it's got a little twist to it.
Johnny sure as hell didn't have any problems with that stick.
Yeah, I know, sure, right?
Man. Oh man.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw you, Johnny, we played in a game there in Voorhees. It was for some charity, and you were ripping it up there, ripping shots in the blue.
For a proppies thing.
Yeah, proppers right? thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See,
and you look good, man. You were high stepping.
I don't know about looking good, but it's fun to get out there and mess
with it. It is, absolutely. It? A lot of fun.
You know, it's just, I don't know. You miss it. You know, that's kind of, you don't play hockey because you hate it. You play because you love it. Yeah, so, I mean, true. You know, it was fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, you're still pretty active in some of the alumni stuff. I see around some of the events. I mean, I know obviously COVID threw a wrench in a lot of it, but you're fairly active in some of the stuff with the alumni.
I try to be. I mean, you know, if I'm available and I'm around, I don't mind. I think Marcy's done a terrific job
with
the alumni stuff. I mean, you know, even if you can't go, Marcy's got everybody up to date on what's going on, begging guys to come. So you kind of, you know, he's doing such a good job. He's working so hard at it. He puts a little guilt trip on me, at least. I don't know about you, but, you know, I feel like, you know, whatever I can do to help the guy out. But it's fun, you know, like we get the golf tournament, the hockey game playing the Warriors, which is going to be a great cause coming up.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, it's fun. You get to see those guys. You know, I don't see these guys every day. You know, you see them maybe once or twice a year, and it's kind of fun to just bullshit and see him and laugh. I mean, it's not a chore to go and hang out with these
guys. No, you're right. It is always a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we get you get that coming up. You know, that Warrior game should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
You know, like I said, Marcy does a terrific job with that alumni and with that whole Warrior program. I mean, those guys, you know, talking to those guys, there's some crazy stories and, you know, really some remarkable stories with those guys. And, I tell you, they're into it. Those guys,
pass with that. That's big time for them.
You know, they're traveling out to Vegas to play in tournaments. They're looking for anybody to play.
Yeah, they are.
So it's fun. They stink something awful, but it's they don't care. they have a great time.
They got three teams, I think. You know,
they have three now. I do, Johnny, a lot of those guys come into my shop. I do a lot of their skates.
Oh, do you?
Oh, they're fine.
Like, job.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
I guess no, so. I can't be the skates. There's nothing you could do to help them. Some of those boys.
It's got to be the shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
But they are—they're great guys, like you said, Johnny. And they love it, man. I mean, they treat it like they're like pros, man. Like they have such a good time, and they're practicing every Sunday, and they do all this stuff. And like you said, they always want to play. Like they're trying to get games all the time. And I don't know if they've announced it, but they do have, they got that big tournament. I think they did announce it.
Yeah. November
coming from everywhere. Yeah, man.
Are they really?
Huge. Yeah. Like
it's going to be here in Philly.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the Jersey rinks, I guess. And it's
okay.
It's that big one that they went to in Vegas. They're having it here. So yeah, they're really fired up about that.
Nice.
Johnny, like, man, I don't even know where to begin with you because you did so much in your career. But I want to start with when you came to Philadelphia, if you don't mind. Probably, what people say the best trade ever for the Flyers, getting you and Eric Desjardins, Rico Desjardins. I said that to him every day. He probably was like, get this hyper kid away from me. Every time I saw Rico, I'd be like, Rico Desjardins. He'd be like, just laughing. He's probably just going, get the fuck away from me, dude. But Johnny, you came in, and I mean, like, it was almost right away. I mean, it was a shortened season because we had that was the lockout, half year. And I think we had played 8 or 9. I can't remember how many games, but you came in and Rico came in. And I mean, wow, the turnaround was crazy. Like, what were your thoughts on all that? Like, when you came in from Montreal?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when I got traded, you know, you're disappointed. I won a cup in Montreal. Montreal was an hour from my house. I mean, I grew up watching the Canadians. You know, anytime you get traded, I think you're a little disappointed. But you know, once we get on the plane coming down, just very excited to be here in Philly. New opportunity. You know, obviously things worked out really well with me. I had a chance to play with Eric and Rennie right away. So it wasn't like, you know, they were screwing me. I got a great chance to do something right off the hop. You know, I'm just fortunate things worked out for me in that way and things took off. But I mean, you look at that trade and you kind of look at like the Flyers, like, you know, when we made that trade, we became actually pretty good. We were a good team. We made the playoffs and then we were always in it for probably 10 years.
Yeah.
And the key thing is, like, everybody's like, oh, you came and you scored 50 goals. But everything worked around Eric Desjardins. The power play, the penalty kill, 5-on-5. Every defenseman that came through the ranks over those 10 years, they learned everything they know from Rico.
That's right. You're right.
I mean, you know, watching, like, everybody, like, you know, Eric, obviously superstar and all that. But without Rico in that lineup, that team's a big, big different team. It's a different team, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was so good, man. I mean, he did everything, like you said. He did it all, power play, penalty kill. Like, he just 5-on-5. Like, he was just – it seemed like he never made a mistake, you know? Like, I mean, he was just so good, so smart. And, yeah. God, he was good. He scored big goals too, man. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, don't sell yourself short though. You had a lot to do with stuff too, but you, the chemistry was amazing. Like right away, you know, you guys obviously were just clicking. I mean, it was crazy. I think you had 25 goals in a short, I can't remember how many, but
there was a lockout that year.
Yeah. It was a shortened year. Yeah.
Nine games in Montreal. I played 9. I don't know how many you guys had here.
Yeah.
And then I came here and like you said, I scored 20 something, whatever, but yeah, I was on fire playing with those two guys. You know, playing with Michael and Eric. I mean, we had immediate success, and you know, things got rolling pretty quick for us.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, you guys talk about. I mean, you guys were dominating for years. I mean, it was crazy. It almost. I know nothing's easy, National Hockey League, but some nights it actually looked easy for you guys. I mean, and I know that's not the case, but you guys were just. The chemistry, the clicking, I mean, just everything, man. It was fun to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, I bet. I was going to say, you know, the 3 years that you scored 50, I was looking at your stats there. I didn't realize that you'd played all 82 regular season games in those 3 years. Obviously proving that you're a very durable guy. And then I think 2 more seasons after that, you played another 82 games. You know, was there something that you did? Like, were you training a certain way, or was that just like, you know, just like pure beast mode?
I mean, you know, the mentality I think of a hockey player now is, you know, the same as it was. Just it was a little bit more gung-ho back then. Like, you know, you played through a lot of shit back then. You played through a bunch of stuff yourself. I mean, you've seen guys that, you know, they limp into the rink, they get warmed up, they stretch, and they go and they play a game and they play well. I mean, you know, part of it was that mentality. You're there to play, so you play as much as you play every night. I mean, I had a great streak going. I think I had maybe, you know, like you said, 4 or 5 years, whatever, played every game or whatever. But then things really went up to shit after that. You know, I got hurt like 3 out of the 4 years after that. Missed a ton of games. So, you know, just like I said, I love playing hockey. Like, it was never a question I didn't want to play. If I could play, I was going to play, you know, that kind of thing. You know, now the guys are resting and, like, you know, they've got a little thing here. You know, it's different. The game's much skilled. Guys are, you know, they're just a different little mentality. And I get guys are taking care of themselves and being smart. You know, there's a shitload of stuff that guys went out and played that wasn't smart. It just wasn't smart to go out and play like that. But, you know, like I said, it was a different mentality, different time. You know, I think that's kind of why you have that.
I remember Johnny, you we were playing in the playoffs and you sprained your ankle like really bad. And we're playing Tampa, I believe.
Yeah.
And I mean, you come into the rink, Riles, you should have seen his foot. It looked like someone took a sledgehammer to it. It was, and this guy played, I'm pretty sure he scored 2 goals. I think we went 3-1 that night. I don't even know. He barely could walk into the rink and he gets that skate on. And I mean, people don't know that those sort of things about you guys, cause you're not going to go to the meeting and be like, hey, I played with a, you know, hurt ankle, right. But it was amazing. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Like I've told that story 100 times. Like I could not believe you were able to even skate. But you were a warrior, man. But that was awesome. You're right. It has changed a bit, though, like you were saying.
I just feel back then, now. Guys that never took care of themselves as well as they do now. I mean, there was certainly a few, but there's so much emphasis on, you know, strength and conditioning and recovery. And that doesn't guarantee you're going to play 82 games in a regular season either, right? I mean, the fact that you did that for how many years is impressive, whether it was just like an act of God. And, you know, obviously in that era, it was still pretty clutch and grab and, you know, bigger bodies floating around. And obviously you're a big one yourself, but I just think that's pretty amazing. I just know, like, you know, how much of a grind it is, you know, to begin with, and then to be able to endure that and not just endure it, to score 50 3 years in a row is pretty amazing. So I just wanted to
really amazing.
Props to you for that. And then you did, you know, a couple 40 goal seasons and, you know, obviously, yeah. that line obviously was something else. So pretty
LOD. Now, now after you, Johnny, we had a Legion, but it was called the Legion of Poon, not the Legion of Doom, with Scotty Upshaw and Joffrey Loops. They were called the Legion of Poon.
Oh, really? Okay. Didn't know that, but
that was it. It comes up all the time. I see it all the time.
That's fine.
But they didn't have quite the success you guys had on the ice. Maybe they did off
the ice.
They had a lot of talks off the ice.
Okay.
But anyway, those guys are good buddies of ours. They're
awesome. Never recognized them for that. So
they didn't. I don't know. They got them out of town.
Well, I guess that's how you recognize them.
Loops ended up going with for Prongs, actually. I think he was in the Pronger deal.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, but anyway, that was the other Legion.
Okay.
So me and Roz were talking too about it. Something I never really got to talk to you about. Like, man, you won a Stanley Cup. It's unbelievable. You won it, one of the best places probably to play hockey, Montreal. I mean,
no kidding.
Obviously, I don't know that, but you do, like you said, growing up and then you played there. What was that like, man? That had to be that's a dumb question, but what was it like, man?
Yeah. I mean, you know, growing up an hour from there, every Saturday night I watched Montreal play on Hockey Night in Canada. You know, I knew the tradition, obviously, you know, in the late 70s when they were winning cups year after year, I was watching and just glued to the TV, you know, watching, cause that was the only hockey you could watch was them. I actually grew up a Bruins fan, but just to watch hockey, you watch Montreal play. You know, the other cool thing about that was the old Montreal Forum. I mean, that place was a cathedral. It was just, I mean, it was so cool to be in that building and just be in that locker room with all the history and everything behind it. And then win a Stanley Cup in that town. You know, I'm sure it's great everywhere. You win a Stanley
Cup. Yeah.
There's no bad place to win a Stanley Cup.
True. Yeah.
But, you know, I just think, you know, Montreal, they do appreciate it. There's just a little bit more sophistication to it. Like they know kind of, you know, even though they got their 24 cups, I don't think they take it for granted. They, they celebrated like that was the first one too. And, obviously careers over, you look back, it's a great thrill of my career, obviously to win there, in Montreal, but it's incredibly disappointing that, you know, the height of my personal career, you know, we couldn't finish the job here in Philly. And
so,
you know,
close.
I think we had two or three teams that could have and should have won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree, man. You guys, like, I left, went to the Phantoms. Even your first, I think we went to the conference final that first year. The Devils ended up beating us. We fought back and tied that series. You guys fought back and made it 2-2 because we lost the first two at home. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, this is over. We go into Jersey, Riles. The boys pull off 2 wins. Now it's, you know, you're back to even. And it looked like we were going into overtime in game 5. And then Pepe buried one from the blue line, came across the blue line, scored one late in the third. But anyway, you're right, man. And then, you know, you guys go to the finals in 97 and that didn't work out. And even when those guys came back and with the Devils, that series, yeah. You know, that was the year I thought you guys were, I thought that was the one you guys were going to win it. But you still like great years here, man. Like, but I understand what you mean though, but how we were talking also about like you played for Pat Burns, right?
I did play for Burns. He was my first coach up there.
How was that? What was he like?
I tell you what. Well, after I left Montreal later on, I got a chance to spend some time with Burns, and not a lot of time, but just get a chance to like on a friendlier note, you know, not player coach.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. Got along great. We had great conversations. Great guy. But as a rookie coming out of college to Burnsy in Montreal. He was tough on me, which is great. I mean, there were some things that absolutely paid off in the long run for me. But he was tough. Burnsy's tough, and it's his way or the highway. He's got that cop mentality that, he's not taking any shit from anybody. And, if you're not going to listen, then he'll do it through force. I liked him. I only got 2 years with him in Montreal. He was good.
Yeah.
I would have liked him to play me a little more, but yeah. Those things happen.
I was going to say, when you won that cup there, obviously we've had a couple guys on here with Stanley Cups, and we always ask about the leadership group and going on that roster when you won. I mean, some pretty significant players and names from Patrick Waugh, Dom Fus, and everyone in between. Can you talk a little bit about the that core leadership group and being on a team that wins, and then versus not that when you were at the Flyers had a poor leadership group because you guys came so close several times, and maybe even compared to maybe the modern day Flyers, like the current day Flyers, and maybe their lack of that core leadership?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge believer. You got to have experience to do things. Like, you can't win without having a 20 year vet and things like that.
Right.
But when we did win in Montreal, we had a great mix of everything. You know, we had Guy Carboneau, to me, was a great captain. I mean, rarely said stuff, but when he did, people listened. I thought Carbo was a very smart hockey guy. He knew what he was talking about. He wouldn't just say things to say things. Patrick and Nat, Patrick never spoke that much. And when he did, a lot of passion behind it, a lot of feeling. And he backed it up. I mean, Chris, game four, he came in the locker room, you guys. He goes, I don't care how long it takes, they're not scoring, guys. I mean, it's game four of the Stanley Cup. He tells you they're not scoring. And he means it. It's just like,
yeah.
I mean, the guy puts that kind of confidence in everybody in the room, you know, like that. And then you guys had some other leaders. Like, I mean, like Mike Keane's a huge leader. You had Rob Ramage, we got the deadline. That was a big leader. Then you had, like you said, Dan Fus, JJ Daniel. We had a lot of guys.
Yeah, I forgot about JJ. Yeah.
We had a lot of guys that had a lot of experience on that team. And, it helped. We were down 2-0 start the playoffs that year. And we lost both at home, just like you were talking about. We lost both games at home to Quebec. And guys didn't panic, and that's kind of where it was. You know, you look to those guys and it's not like you got to say anything. Just you can tell the body language. You can tell the feeling, just the conversation. It's just – nobody's fake about it and that kind of crap. You know, it's like no big speeches. It was just kind of, those guys, like they had a feeling. You got a guy like Kirk Muller, just, you hang out on his lap and joke and nothing's changed because he's not worried. He's like, we're going to be fine. So, those are the kind of things that, it's not speeches. It's not, a guy going out there fighting somebody or running a guy, those are things that happen spontaneous that, it means more than when it's set up and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's quite the lineup you guys had there. And then, I don't know if you have watched the Flyers closely this year or not, but I just we always talk about, we always talk about where's the holes, what's the missing piece and stuff like that. But to me, I love G as a leader, and they have some other leaders, but I just feel like that surrounding cast, like that, the little entourage is not quite there from some of the teams that have won Stanley Cups in the past. Like, there's just not enough support in that role. And I just feel like there's just, like you said, like that confidence where nothing really needs to be said. We just know you're going to go out there and do it. I just feel like they almost do the opposite, where they almost find ways to crumble. And I don't know, from my experience, I'm just always thinking that maybe it's just the lack of, I don't want to say experience, because there could be some really good young leaders, you know, and you've seen that with the old Edmonton Oilers teams and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just wanted to see your take on that from, you know, if you observed just anything.
Just from watching, I mean, obviously they got off to a great start, things they were doing well. They've had, you know, there's some personnel problems they had or whatever, but as far as like, you know, the thing that you're getting at with leadership, what really struck me is the last 10 games watching them play.
Yeah.
That looked like a team that didn't give a shit. That looked like a team that hated their coach. They didn't take much pride in much. You know, it didn't look like there was a whole lot of energy. And I get it. You know, the playoffs are out of reach, but there's also some pride in your team and your teammates. And I don't know. There's a couple of games. I'm not saying every game, but there was a couple of games I saw and just like, I mean, this is garbage. They don't even want to be there. And it's kind of, you know, you wonder. As far as the internal leadership with, like, you know, Voracek, G, and those guys, I'm not around there. I don't know them. I don't know them that well enough to even comment on that. They could be, you know, it could be other things that are going on. I'm not there, so I don't want to comment on that.
Sure.
I'm just going to comment on what I saw. And it was the last I don't know. I don't think that would have happened in my years here in the Flyers. I can tell you that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at least they've gone down swinging, you know, not necessarily in the fight, but that's just like you just go down with some jam.
I played on a shitty team. In my first year when I got out of here, I went to Pittsburgh. We were terrible.
Yeah.
And but it was just like, guys, have some pride, you know. And you know, we weren't winning every night, but we were at least putting an effort in. I mean, it wasn't like we weren't giving points away. I mean, we were a man, but we were still, guys were working hard, fighting for spots next year or whatever they wanted. But you know, guys came to play. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, you weren't just laying egg after egg after egg like they had, like those last 10 games, like you said. Like, how bad is the egg going to be tonight? You know, it's like you almost go into the game wondering, you know, how bad they're going to blow it. But it was kind of a frustrating season for everybody. But just like, you know, the way they started and showed that they had some hope and some jam there out of the gates, but then it's kind of slowly disappeared. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Just being around like legitimate leaders and legitimate teams that, you know, that know how to win. You know, it's almost like they just found ways to lose almost, especially towards the end. They at that point already thrown the towel in. But
and to me, the biggest indicators, I mean, look at all those games at the end here. They always fell behind, and then when it's out of reach, everybody wants to play and get their cookies. That's the most bullshit thing going. I can remember playing on some U.S. teams and stuff like that. Brett Hall wouldn't go play the last 10 minutes if we were beating the team, but he's like, I don't want to be out of there. We're playing those U.S. tournaments, like, I don't need to be out there for what, you know. Because he's like, we got another game in 2 days and stuff. He's ready to go. Like that, like Holly didn't want the extra, you know, the open net and shit like that. He wanted to play, you know? It's about winning.
Yeah.
And if you look at those last 10 games with the Flyers or whatever, like I said, you know, they always fell behind by two or three goals. And then all of a sudden, you know, they lose by one. But that wasn't the game. It wasn't like, you know, they gave a game with a goal with 5 minutes left because the game was tied all the way
through. Right.
Right. You know?
Yeah, I know for sure. It's
deceiving. It was frustrating. It was a frustrating year, disappointing year, I think, from what we saw last year. Pretty good run, you know, ran into probably obviously a better team with the Islanders. And I think everybody's expectations were really high this year. I know it didn't help losing Niskanen and Johnny, but I mean, Niskanen was really good for Provy. But I mean, one guy, like, your season can't go to shit. Like,
but if you look at those 5D, take Provorov out of that equation. I mean, you know, that's Niskanen was what they were missing big time more than anything.
Yeah.
Because all those guys panic every time. They unbelievably panic.
Yeah.
I mean, and look at how they played last year. You know, look at like Myers and Sutton, like all those guys.
Yeah.
They had decent ends. Like there was a promise. There was a lot to look forward to.
Right.
And it almost like they went backwards this year because they had nobody really to kind of learn from. And you learn more from your teammates and doing stuff and talking with them on the bench and playing and stuff than most coaches. I mean, those coaches can help you with the X's and O's and stuff. As far as your you know, growing yourself as a player and things like that. You know, a lot of these guys learn from, like, you know, a solid veteran who's not going to panic out there, who can, like, you know, make them feel comfortable.
You said that perfect, Johnny, because someone had asked us before, like, what was so good about Nisky? And I was like, I was only there for 46 games last season, but he was so calm and he kept, you know, he's not a very loud guy, but he didn't have to be, like you said about some other players, but he did keep everything calm. He did fit in with Provorov really well, but he kept the kids like Sanheim and Myers. He was so calm, and there were times on the bench where he'd be like, boy, relax, everything's fine. You know, like just little things like you're saying. And, you know, I was hoping that wasn't going to make – maybe say that it was just that reason that they had a bad season, because like you said, like it looked like some guys had kind of just maybe, I don't want to say quit, but you know, it just got ugly. It got ugly as it kept going. it wasn't pretty. That's for sure. But anyway, I was just thinking about Johnny, you were talking about, you had a few years there. I think your back was bothering you. And, Riles, I don't know if I told you this, but, our old, good buddy, God bless him, passed away a few years ago. Chris Felix, he was our medical guy. You know Kat, you knew Kat, Riles. One day, Johnny was getting ready to come back, and he comes down, and he's got his gear on. He says, hey, throw your gear on. We'll go out and play. So Johnny's going to play me and this kid that worked for me, Jordan. And then Kat was in net. We're just one-on-two, right? And so Johnny's, like, messing around. We can't even catch him, you know, obviously. But he comes in, and we've been playing about 20 minutes, and Johnny takes kind of a half slapper. I mean, obviously, you don't want to get hit with it. Well, Kat, as he called himself, El Gato, when he was in net. That's what he called himself in net. El Gato. Yeah. So Johnny White, like, got the stick back, you know, to take the shot. Well, Kat's already putting the glove up because you know he's going to blow it by him, right? So he gets his hand up and he closes it. And the puck hits the outside of his glove. Kat fucking throws the glove off. And you know, I go get the puck. He stopped it. He's lucky as hell. But it hits the outside of the glove, which I didn't know. I thought it hit the inside. Throws the glove off, grabs his hand. Johnny's like, Jesus, I'm sorry, bud. And I'm like, come on, Kat, get up. Like, we're playing. He goes like this and blood squirting out of his finger. From the tip of his finger. Blood's fucking flying. Johnny's like, oh my God, he felt so bad. But
I feel bad.
I fucking laughed just because I'm like going, he goes like this and blood's fucking flying out of his hand. Oh my God.
The worst part of that was watching Kat walk around with a bandage about this on his fucking finger.
Well, he wanted everybody to ask what happened. Exactly. I took one of Johnny's shots.
Exactly.
The old corn dog.
I was telling him that I'm the one that took the shot and did it to him. Yeah, exactly.
You know, Johnny, his son Colin won the national championship this year.
Yeah. Oh, UMass. Yeah. UMass. Yeah. 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 I saw Colin play a couple times with UMass. Good player. Plays hard. Yeah. Plays really hard.
Yeah. He, me and Neil Little went to Pitt to watch. We watched the semifinal game. We weren't able to stay all weekend, but
okay.
We went up, got to see him play. It was awesome.
Good.
It was awesome. He played really well.
Good for you.
Yeah, man. So it's speaking about Holly and USA, man. How cool was that 96 winning the World Cup, man? That was like awesome. I got to hang around in the room there for that week. You guys were in Philly, man. And, I was on the bench for the game against Canada there. What an intense game, man. That game got wild right away, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were the playoff, the final round then. Is that when you opened up with the fight?
Well, it was before. Oh, wait.
We played them
first. Yeah, you're right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
a game. We played them first here, and then we both won our pools.
That's right.
And then we had one here and then two in Montreal.
Yeah, that's right. My fault.
And then the one that opened up here for the finals, Chucky, Billy, all those guys started off with a brawl.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, honestly, that set the tempo. Those guys, like, I don't give a shit who you think you are. You're not going to push us around and not scared of you.
Awesome.
You know, we ended up losing that game, but we came back and won the series. And
yeah.
That was some of the best hockey, I was a part of, being a part with all those guys. That U.S. group was awesome to be around. You know, they're all great players, but just it was a good group of guys too. We had a lot of fun that month for the World Cup.
I remember being in the locker room there the one day. I don't know what the hell, I was probably putting towels away or something. And some of the boys were in the hot tub. And at the time, that's a big hot tub, right? At the center, because the building's new. This thing looks like a damn pool. Billy Garen comes in, does a damn flip. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to break his neck right into the pool. Does a flip right in the pool. There's other guys in the pool too, Riles. You know that pool. Yeah. But that was cool. I got to do the World Cup in 2016, and it went absolutely the opposite way that it went for you guys. Right. My God, I was so pumped. It was still a great experience, but you got to play in two Olympics as well. I was fortunate enough. I got to go to 2010 as an equipment guy. And that was probably the highlight of my, like, I don't say career, but my working in hockey. It was the best 2 weeks.
It was Vancouver, right?
Yeah, it was Vancouver. And I mean
close.
I know. We won every game to the final game, obviously, to the gold medal game. But even that game.
That was a great team, though, too. That was a great Olympic team you guys had.
It was so much fun, man. God, I can only imagine getting to play like yourself, like you did. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Olympics are fun. I mean, when we went to Nagano, we didn't do well. It wasn't good from the get-go, but it was on us too. We didn't play well. We just didn't play well. But the whole Olympic experience and being part of the Olympics, to say you're an Olympian and stuff like that, it's very cool. I don't know if you can see in the back. Can you see that torch?
Yeah.
So when we did Salt Lake, they have different athletes they run through the torch to get it all the way out to Salt Lake. So I got a chance to run like a quarter mile or whatever with a torch and be part of the relay.
Did you take your time? Did you run as slow as possible? Just to take it
there? they put a pace with you because they don't. Yeah. You got to hurry it, but you got to, you can take your time a little bit and soak it in.
I might have moonwalked a little bit with that thing.
Yeah.
And they give everybody a replica, which is kind of cool.
That's really cool.
You know, when we went to Salt Lake, we got to the finals, gold medal game, and, obviously the gold's everything. Silver, walked away with the medal. That's okay. But it's being a part of the Olympics it's a cool experience. And I mean, you probably saw it, like you're down in the cafeteria with all these other Olympians from all these different sports and stuff. And it's something that's really cool.
It was a cool, I remember, I mean, obviously I wasn't playing. I was a pigeon. I'm doing equipment, but I just remember going out on the bench and then it hit me, like seeing the Olympic symbol all around the rink. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like what I've watched, since 1980, the Miracle on Ice. And just every year, everyone basically watched the Olympics. And I just remember like pinching myself going, this is amazing. It was the best time I think I've ever had for 2 weeks anyway.
I can't say I know anything about that.
I may have had a little bit too much fun a couple nights, but it was Vancouver. So. It was Vancouver. So,
oh yeah. You lined up at the Roxy, I'm sure.
A couple times.
Johnny, I was going to ask you, going back to your Flyers days, I believe you played for five different coaches while you were there.
Seemed like 500 at times.
It was Terry Murray. Terry Murray was the first coach.
Did you count Cash as one of the coaches?
Oh, no, I
told you Cashman as Cash.
Cash coached for about 2 weeks, didn't like it. Decided
so six. Oh, man.
That's right.
Cash,
man.
That's incredible.
Cash was awesome. He's an assistant coach, though, and he knew it.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be a coach.
At least he's honest.
He was.
Yeah. I think you had the most success with Terry Murray as far as point production.
I mean, when I first got there, Terry was the coach. Terry played the hell out of us. I mean, we were kind of clicking, and there was nights where Terry played us. At that time, we played 20 minutes or more. That's a lot. I mean, now you get, some guys playing 25 minutes and stuff like that. I don't think we ever stretched it like that. But, we played a lot. He put us out there a lot, put us in a lot of great situations. So I don't know what the numbers are, but it wouldn't surprise me if I, had most of it with Terry. But I had some other guys that came through that were good. Like, I mean, Roger, there's not a better guy on this earth than Roger. He was awesome. And he he made hockey a lot of fun, laughed a lot.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy. He was a smart guy. He had his own way of doing things, but he made coming to the rink a lot of fun.
He Johnny, I think you knew this. I had him in I was with him in Florida. My very first year out of college, I was in Florida, and I, you know, being around the rink, you know how guys talk, you kind of lose, you know, the F bombs, just whatever, you're around guys. But I couldn't believe Roger didn't swear. Hey, Riggs, like, he didn't swear. And it made me laugh, because the reason I laughed, because he'd be like, cheesy cripes. He would say stuff like, for crack's sakes. You know, he would say stuff like that. And I'm like, what did he just say? You know, like, and then I got to know him, you know, and it was funny. I would give him rides all the time. He would come to the rink super early, and sometimes he'd ride his bike. Sometimes someone would pick him up, I guess, but then I would take him back home at lunch, and then he would ride his bike back to the rink to watch hockey all night. He would sit at the rink and watch games all night, but he was one of the nicest men, I mean, I've ever met. Like, he was just such a nice guy. And he made me laugh at one night. I can't remember his, I think he ended up, I'm not sure if he ever got married, but it was his girlfriend, and she had come down, and he came into the medical room, and he was like, Sudsy, cheesy, cripesies. I was necking with Kathy or whatever her name was last night. Necking. He's like, you know, like, they were kissing. He goes, like high school? We were necking last night, and I'm sore. My neck's killing me. And my old man goes, you were doing what? And he's like, we were necking, you know, kissing and stuff. And he's like, oh, Roger, you get lucky. Oh, geez, crap's sake, Sudsy. Just stop. Just fix my neck. You know, like, it was just, I just loved him. He was such a nice man.
Yeah.
God bless him. He was a good dude.
And you played a couple years.
He's got the all-time best story, though. Did he ever tell you the story when he got fired and they made him in Toronto and they made him coach that night?
No. What? No, I never heard that.
The gist of it. The details are hysterical. I don't know all the details. Like, he told it to us the one night we were just sitting around talking and stuff. He gets fired in the morning after the morning skate. All right, he goes home. They call at 4 o'clock. They go, we don't have a coach. We need you to sit on the bench and coach the team tonight.
No way.
And he went?
Yeah, Roger went. Did it. Wow. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that just shows his character, man. Probably proud as can be, right? I mean, he's just such a good human.
He was.
That's incredible. I never heard that.
Were you with us when we went up to his cottage and had training camp in Peterborough?
Yeah, I was with the Phantoms, but I was up there. Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Who was the dumb prick that ran Paul Healy?
Which guy?
We had to run Paul Healy.
Oh, Paul Healy. Yeah, Heater. Okay, yeah.
So we have a training camp up there, and Roger's having a cookout. And part of the cookout is you can either do a 30-mile bike or a 6-mile run time. It's kind of your summer and you're in shape. You got to come back and they time you and see if you're in shape coming back. And I guess Healy did the run. The kid was in phenomenal shape. Like, he just unbelievable. And so he went running, but he made a wrong turn. I guess he ran an extra mile. Still came in like third.
He was in good shape, that kid. He was. That's right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was just kind of cool being up at Roger's Cottage and all that. We were in Peterborough. Peterborough is a small little, nice little town. That was fun.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We told a story. We had Fridgie, right? On the podcast a while back. And the first time I ever saw Fridge, I didn't know who he was at the time, because I think you guys, like you and Danny McGillis, and someone handed us some cash, said, go get some lunch. Cause we drove up a little earlier than you guys, and you guys came in and we had everything set up. So we had time before dinner. We had a meeting at dinner around dinner time back at the rink, I think is where we met, but either way. So me and Turk, and I think Joey Rivera Hedgehog, he was working with me at the time. So Rusty was with us. Yeah. So we go to the bar to get something to drink. And, you know, we look over at the bar, and it's like 1 p.m. And there's this kid sitting there. He's got long white hair. It's down to over his shoulders. Turns around, his teeth are everywhere. He hadn't lost them yet. And he's got a dart in one hand, and he's got just a straight up like whiskey drink. And he's drinking.
Professional athlete for you.
And I just remember saying, good God, I feel like I should like pay for that guy's drink, man. He looks like he's in rough shape. So fast forward 4 hours, we go into the meeting and I see this kid come walking in. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, Rusty. I'm like, that's the dude that was sitting at the bar. He's a fucking kid. He's like 19 or 20. I don't even know how old he was at that time, but that was the year too, Johnny. You probably don't remember this, but they brought a guy in named Gary Kupal for camp, and he had been banned from fucking every league in the world.
I remember that. I don't remember him, but I remember that story for some reason, like the Kupal thing. Yeah,
he had a shaved head. He was banned from junior hockey. Yeah,
yes, that's right.
And so he was on Eric's team. I don't know if you were on Eric's team, but there were four teams.
Right.
And you know. And anyway, we had Steve McLaren. We called him Stone Cold Steve McLaren with the Phantoms, he was really tough. So him and Coop had fought before. So they like line up and they fight, and it's right where I'm sitting at the bench, and all you hear is just these two just pop pop all over their heads. But Coop took the worst of it. He comes into the thing, takes his helmet off. He had knots. I had to open his helmet up all the way just to put it back. And then Woody McLaren is like yelling over, "That wasn't a good one for me. Let's go again." And Coop's like, "Okay, buddy, no problem." Yeah. They drop them again. As soon as they come out, I'm like, "What the fuck is going on here, man?" It was crazy. But yeah, that was fun going up there. That was actually like, we had to drive. That wasn't much fun. But I got to fly back with you guys though. So I kind of got lucky there. On the way back, but that was a lot of fun, Johnny. Actually, it was funny too. Quick, Roger was in Florida. We had the big meeting. There were there were close to 80 guys at that camp because it was inaugural season, and there were so many players. And he had a meeting, and he's like, "I don't want you guys fighting against each other. The preseason games are for that." Puck drops. There must have been 20 fights that day, in the two games.
It was all kinds of fights.
Was a shit show, man, in Florida. I remember saying to my dad and one of the other guys, Gordy Herbert, I was like, "Roger told them they can't fight." And he's like, "They're going to fight because they want to make the team." And I know what he told them, but trust me, he ain't going to say anything to them. But God, that was my first camp. And I'm like, these guys are on the same, they're killing each other. Every guy is trying to make it, but it was crazy, man. Oh man, it's a lot different back then.
Yeah, no doubt. Back then, Nasty brought up Friggy. John, you gotta have a good Friggy story, because this guy, man.
There's just so many. It's almost like you can't believe some of the shit that
that's it.
There's not a guy I play with that made me laugh more than Friggy.
I agree. Really isn't.
The dude puts a smile on my face every time I see him. He was a great teammate. I appreciate everything he does on the ice, sticking up for you. And Friggy can play. Friggy can see like the wind.
God, he was a freak. Yeah, he's
powerful.
He's a freak athlete, man.
Do it all. He just, the brain couldn't realize and register everything sometimes. He just get a little lost out there. But, he physically could play the game really well. Obviously the stuff too, sticking up for his teammates, what he did was awesome. The guy's just, between when we had the new skate zone, they had the cold tub and the hot tub there.
Yeah.
But Friggy getting down, he probably told you the story, did he?
No, I'm just.
No. So there's a cold tub and a hot tub, like one, so you can go back and forth around. They're pretty good size. And guys would be going back and forth, so it was all tile and get wet. Well, Friggy found out that he could slide on it. So he came like running in and sliding on his feet, big entrance. Well, then he upped it. He'd get naked and come flying in on his belly like a seal.
Oh, God.
So he does that one day, and Hitch is sitting in the hot tub. So Friggy comes flying in like a seal, and he's looking up at Hitch. And Hitch is just like, "What is wrong with you?
What are you doing?" Yeah. Jesus Christ, Fridge, what are you doing? Oh, that was that's great.
It's just, there's like I said, every day he was doing something.
Yeah.
He always makes you laugh or smile. He was a great teammate.
Yeah, still to this day, he hasn't matured one bit. And I say that with respect because I love the guy to death. But, he just like pulls shit out of his ass. Like he was like 18, 17, 18 years old again, there's just no.
He is a child.
Yeah.
He's forever. He's a beautiful child.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's funny. Another thing real quick about Hitch, Johnny. Did he ever tell you were playing the wrong way? Jesus, Johnny. What the fuck?
All the time. Yeah.
I remember Scotty Upshaw was telling me the one time he's like, He calls me in and he says, you're out of the lineup tonight. And he's like, why? We play, our line was great last night, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you're playing sideways. He goes, what the fuck does that mean, Hitch? I'm playing sideways. What the fuck does that mean? And Hitch is like, he's like, well, you're just not playing the right way. He goes, we were awesome last night. We had two guys. They were on, he was playing on the fourth line at the time. They had two goals, and I guess they had a really good game or whatever. But he goes, I'm not sitting tonight. He walks out and he played. Yeah. He played. Well, it was against us. It was against us. Yeah, Flyers. Yeah.
Yeah. If he didn't stick up the Hitch, then he just steamrolled. That's why.
Yeah.
He really had, he had to. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Hitch is a very good coach. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. But I did not enjoy him as a coach.
Well, I only had him for about 9 games. And then that was when you too. Yeah. Roz was there. But I was lucky because he was really good to me, and he called me, the guys made fun because he called me young Derek, what's up? But he was so nice to me. And then he would walk down the hall and someone would say hi to him. He wouldn't even talk back to him, you know, but I was lucky because he loved Johnny Stevens. So Johnny was like, this guy's my guy, blah, blah, blah. So whatever. But I've told this story before, but I got to tell you this because you probably never heard it, but quickly, we're playing in the Devils in the old building, Continental Airline Arenas, I think is what it was called. And something happened in the morning. There was a flood or something. And so I call Hitch and I'm like, hey, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to skate. They got all these people, they're ripping stuff up. And he's like, well, I'm on my way in, so we'll check it out. You know? So I'm like, all right. So he gets there and he sees it's a shit show. And he's like, all right, call Patty and tell him to leave the gang at the hotel and we'll go over things there. Right. So I'm like, okay. So Harry and I start taking the jerseys down, start putting the game stuff up. And he goes, young Derek, what's that song, My Hips Don't Lie? And I'm like, what? And he says, yeah, that, you know, that song. I was like, Shakira? He goes, yeah. He goes, put that on. And I'm like, okay. So I plugged my iPod. What were they then? iPods?
Yeah, iPods. Yeah.
Things are gone. I put the iPod on. I find the song and I put it on. Johnny, he stood there the entire 4 minutes of that song, however long it is, chewing bubble. You know, we had that double bubble. It loses its flavor. He must have eaten 40 pieces in the 4 minutes. He just kept spitting them out. But the thing is, he like had his hands on his hip, tapping his feet to the whole song. Really? And he goes, the whole song, chewed about 20 pieces of gum. And then he goes, all right, guys, see you tonight. You know, Bricks and I just look at each other and go, what just happened, man? If anyone would have said, I wish I would have had a phone that recorded that.
That would have been awesome. I mean, that would have been legendary.
What's that song? My Hips Don't Lie.
The thing is, though, I can picture that. The whole foot tap with his hands on his hips. Yeah. You can just picture Hitch doing that. It's just too funny.
Oh, it was amazing, man.
That is too funny.
Jesus. Wow. Yeah, he was – I saw him a couple times. Swing back into the boards there, and some boards moved, and I saw twice beer in a guy's hand go right in his face because it hit. Oh my god! Well, he would do that all the time. He had his arms, and he would lean back and hit the glass, and I saw twice. Fucking beers and people are banging on the glass.
Pissed at him, yeah.
Oh man. That's awesome. Anyway,
what a beauty. There was a pretty good story with him and Freddie Meyer upstairs in the weight room. Hitch would get on his bike and do his hour cardio and read the paper and hardly even sweat. And then he'd get off and he'd do his foam roller routine. He comes off the one day and he looks at the foam roller and there was like a little dent in the side of it. And he looks at Freddie. He's like, Freddie, he's like, Are you bending these foam rollers? Are you over rolling or something like that? And I was trying to push the blame on Freddie. I was like, whoa, settle down there, chopper.
What did Freddie play at? 165?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, jacked 165. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
pump the brakes, Hitch. Yeah. Oh my God, man.
Yeah, that's it wasn't it. Freddie, that's man. It.
All right.
I don't think Freddie bent that thing.
No.
I very much doubt that.
Oh, that's so funny, man.
He's
remembered, though. I tell you what, Hitch will be remembered wherever he goes.
Yeah, yeah.
He makes an impression, good, bad, or indifferent. He makes an impression.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Chief, you know, Craig, obviously, you know, Chief really well, but he played for Hitch. And, you know, he said he
did he coach with him in St. Louis?
No. No,
back in the day in the Western League, right? Hitch?
No, he played for Hitch.
Yeah.
Back in the day. He said that he coached with him in St. Louis.
Oh yeah, no.
I said no. No. But oh man, he had a couple good stories about Hitch, but he liked Hitch. He liked Hitch and said he learned quite a bit from him. But
yeah, he's a smart guy. I don't think he's a great human being, but I think he's a pretty good hockey guy. Like,
right.
I respect him as a hockey guy. Like, I mean, you know, he did a good job coaching us here. I didn't always like everything, but I respect what he did and why he did it and things like that. Like I said, though, as a person, he treated a lot of people like garbage for no reason. I mean, I don't, as a person, I'm not a big fan, but
right.
He's a good coach.
Yeah, I had that experience too. You know, I respected his hockey sense, but there was some holes in some of the conversations. I only had him for 9 games too. Like some of the conversations I had with him, I think it just comes back to having, say, experience. Like he never played the game, so you can't. I just can't believe some of the things he had said to me, like as if he had experienced some of these moments that he was talking about. You know what I mean? You don't know what it's like to fight. You don't know what it's like to lose a fight. You don't know what it's like to go back and fight once you've lost a fight. You know, so like some of the conversations I had, I was just like, you lost me. You know what I mean? I'd rather just sit here and talk X and O's and learn the game a little bit more, but please don't talk about, you know, what it's like to dig in the trenches and get your and then go back and do it again. But, so it was just a disconnect, but, you know, you obviously, I mean, I got to respect his track record and what he's accomplished, but there was just some a little bit of friction there personality wise, where it was just like, you kind of lost me, you know, you kind of lost me just the way you treat certain people, the way you talk to certain people. But,
you could see it that year. He didn't have anyone on board at the beginning of that year. I mean, not that the team, it was a tough year anyway. It was the worst team in Flyers. I shouldn't say worst team, but worst record in Flyers history.
That was
tough. That year. It was a tough year.
That was the year after the – which year was that?
It was 2006, I believe, 2006, 2007. It was the 40th year of the team. Right. So it was a tough year. Clarkey stepped down. Homer stepped in and then made some really good moves. And next year we were in the conference finals,
right.
Against Pitt. But anyway, yeah, it was – I had a couple good funny stories in my 9 games with Hitch anyway, so – the hips don't lie. I'll never forget that lie. As long as I live.
Yeah, man. That's something else.
I almost fell over when he's up. He's, you want to speak into my good ear? What'd you just say? My hips don't lie.
What's scarier is you have it on your iPod. Nasty.
Well, that's true. That is. You have to remember, I'm not making excuses, but I have daughters. So there were a lot of things on there
that is a good point.
I would have to skip. I would have to
heard you play it before, right away,
which is something else. I got it right here. I was just listening to it.
No, I honest to God, you know how many times I had to like fast forward, a song would come on and be like Beauty and the Beast, you know, it's just like that because the girls would listen.
Get Hitch all excited with those songs.
Yeah, Hitch, he loved it.
Dance party.
Love Shakira. Hey, I'm just happy you liked Shakira.
Oh, well, who does?
I don't know. Who wouldn't? Shaking her hips anyway. Hitch wasn't shaking that good. He was just tapping the foot.
Little toe tap.
Yeah,
he's a toe tapper.
Oh, Johnny. So we go play golf. Me and Homer, myself, and Hitch go play golf. And I'm hearing, oh, he's a really good golfer, right? And not to be mean, but it's hard to look at him as a specimen and think that he could play golf, okay. You know, by looking at him. I'm definitely not making fun of him, but I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So we go play, hits his tee shot, Johnny, so far left. And we're playing one of those linked courses. You're not going to find a ball. I mean, it went so far left. Homer actually put his down the middle. I didn't do too bad. I was able to find my ball anyway. So I'm like, Hitch, you know, I jump out of the car and I'm like, Hitch, I'll help you find. No, I got it. I got it, young Derek. And I'm like, all right, there's no way this guy's getting up that hill and finding that ball. Well, somehow the ball ended up just in the rough to the left. He hit that, Johnny. He hit that ball so far left, and so he goes, found it. And I look at Homer and I'm like, fucking kidding me? It was, you know. And Homer just kind of shakes his head, right? So that's, of course, I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
Hits his next shot, and I'm trying to think of the course. I'm sure you played it, Johnny. It's at Lynx course. I can't think of the name of it. Coatsy does commercials for it. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But anyway, so his next shot goes straight into the woods, to the right of where the green is. It's a par five. So he hits it into the woods. I mean, dead in the middle of the trees. Gets out of the cart. I'm like, Hitch, you only have, nope, I got it, young Derek, no problem, find it. Right on the edge again somehow. Hits it, hits the next shot over the green. Oh, yeah, over the green, back to the other side of the green. I swear to my kid. So he's hit the ball four times now. He's back on the other side of the green, chips it up in three putts. So he got like an eight or nine.
For a five.
I got a par there, boys. Homer goes, what? Are you fucking kidding me? He goes, you hit the ball about 10 times. And it calls him out. And I'm like, oh, shit. He's like, no, I found him. He's like, well, Hitch, you just putted it three times. He's like, well, the second one was good. He goes, okay, you got a seven then. Just giving it to him.
Oh, man.
It was so – but you know what, Johnny? I think he parred the next eight holes, and they were legit pars. I'm not kidding you. Like, he was good. He was actually good. He did par. He parred the next seven or eight holes. Like he
doesn't matter. He's still a cheater.
Yeah, he cheated. Yeah. That's what I said. And I said to Homer, I said, "Well, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, you know." And he goes, "Fuck that." He goes, "We're playing for money."
Yeah.
But it was funny. He's like, "I got it. My ball was so far out of bounds. You no way would have found the damn things." But it was
Jesus Christ. I have seen him take a swing, and it's the most unorthodox swing you ever seen, but he somehow connects with it and drives the thing pretty damn good. It's like a three part swing. Yeah. It's like a three part swing.
Is it?
But yeah, hey, props to him for crushing it.
We were talking to Max Talbot, Johnny, earlier. He's on our next show as well, and. Yeah. He was talking about his first time he got caught up. He goes, man, he goes, I walked into, he's like, I'm in the room. I think he said his first game was against the Devils. He goes, I got John Claire, Mario Lemieux, you know, and then I said something about it. And Sid, he goes, fuck Sid. He was a kid, man. I was looking at these other guys. You know, I was looking at Johnny and Mario and these guys, but I thought that was cool. I forgot it. I wasn't even thinking, man. I mean, I knew you played in Pitt for, a short time, but it's funny how, like,
I try to forget it too, but
well, it's funny because, like, you know, he was opposite. He played in Pitt, won a cup there, and then he ends up in Philly. It was a pretty big deal for him to leave there and go to Philly. But
sure,
you know, you did the opposite. Yeah. Like Rick Talk did the same thing too, talking it up in Pitt.
Yeah,
after Philly, so it's kind of ironic.
You know what though? I enjoyed like being a part of that team. Like I got to play with all those guys. You know, like with Sid, Fleury, Malkin, Whitney, Corbin, all those guys that won the cup, you know, Max was a big part of those cups. You know, he was really valuable, you know, the way he killed penalties and checked. I mean, he was a big part of those cup teams. So when I got there, they were all 18, 19. I mean, we were young. And because that lasted, Mario, Palfi, myself, Rex, all that, that lasted for like a half a year.
Oh, okay.
You know, Mario got sick again. He stopped playing. They traded a bunch of guys. Ziggy Palfi just said, screw it. I'm quitting. I'm out of here. We stink. The second half of the year, we were really young, and all those young guys were getting their time in. And, you know, when I retired after, they started winning cups or whatever. But it was kind of fun to watch because, you know, I saw those guys when they first came in and got a chance to play with them. And I was happy for them. Those guys worked really hard to get those cups. You know, everybody asked about Sid. I mean, the guy works his ass off. You know, he deserves everything he gets. He really does.
Yeah.
Tremendous player. Obviously, he's more talented than everybody, but he doesn't just sit back. Kid works hard.
Yeah, that's what we keep hearing. Yeah, that's what Max was saying too. And I think obviously we've heard that before. No secret to his success. Yeah. So it's been interesting to watch him grow, and in that core group too. And well, now he's kind of like, you know, now he's like the old guy, you know, and they're kind of almost to the point where they're talking about having a team without him. And, you know,
that's what Max said, hopefully 5-10 years.
Yeah. Five,
but I don't know how much time Sid has left, but he obviously takes care of himself, and he doesn't look out of place at all. He
does not.
You know, watching him. I mean, he's not.
I don't think next year's his last. He doesn't look that way at all.
No chance.
And then, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Jeff Carter, Johnny, and, you know, he gets traded there at the deadline. And He's lit it up since he got through. Christ, he had four goals in one game, but he's still got 8 or 9 goals in his. He's like, it's the weirdest thing, man. He goes, one thing getting traded for the Flyers, but then be putting this black and gold on. He's like, yeah, something I just never could imagine. But he loves it there. Yeah, he just told me the other night. I talked to him after that game, his 4-goal game, and he was just like, man, it's pretty awesome here. Facilities are obviously great. And,
what a pickup.
Yeah, I mean, God, if he stays hot, it's pretty good up the middle there, JL. Their team, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. You go Sid, Malkin, Carter. It's not a bad lineup.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Right on, Johnny. Well, we appreciate your time. You know, it's awesome to see you. Appreciate your insights. And
it's been great catching up with you guys. I haven't seen you guys for a while with this COVID stuff. I mean, hopefully I'll see you at this stuff for Al's and D.
Yeah, I'll see you sooner than later next month.
Love to see you, man. I got to say, Johnny, like, I pump your tires a little bit, but I told Riley, I'm like, you were one of the best people to me, man, when you know, you came to Philly. Yeah,
I did it. You don't need to say this shit and make up shit. I already did your podcast.
No.
That's the shit,
man.
You got to say before you get on.
No, man. I'm serious. Hey, I'm serious, dude. You're an unbelievable guy. You're an unbelievable career, but fuck, you treated everybody so well, man. And I really appreciate you did a lot of shit for me when I was a kid. This guy was going to send me to the Final Four of Wake Forest one in the Elite Eight. And he knew I was a big Wake Forest guy. It was when they had Tim Duncan and all that. It has nothing to do with hockey, but they were going on the road and I wasn't traveling. And he said, D, if they win, I'll get you a ticket to the Final Four, man. And they didn't.
That's awesome.
But I know he would have, and he offered it. And but he did a lot of shit for me, not just like that, but just a great guy, man. And we do really, really appreciate your time, Johnny.
No, like I said, it's always fun catching up with you guys. Looking forward to catching up with you guys soon again here, too.
All right, brother. We need to get my men's league team against your men's league team. I'm kidding, man.
Let's do it.
You don't want any part of this group. No.
Hey, we've won 3 in a row.
That's what I mean. I don't think we're on the same level. That's what I'm getting.
I don't think we're on your level. Nobody wants to be trying to get in front of your shot or in front of you for that matter. But anyway, man, thanks again, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. Take care.
See
you guys.
That episode was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening for the best grind in town. All your hockey needs, grind it. And Howie Steele. He's got it. Nasty's got it. Check out SettlemyerSkateSharpening.com. And for all your cannabinoid nutrition needs, check out BodyCheckWellness.com. I want to thank John LeClaire for carving out the time. Really appreciate that, Johnny. And what an awesome guy. And what a career. What a hockey player.
He's so funny, you know, talking to him. He's so reserved and he just acts like a ho-hum career.
Yeah, right. I know, right?
I mean, this guy, like, it was funny, but, you know, obviously, you don't have to say anything nice about me. I'm already doing the show, but, like, that guy, what a man. Like, he was so good to me. You know, I was young when he first got here. Of course, he was pretty young, too. But great guy, man. It's such a dominant player. And I know he played with Big E and Renberg, but, dude, you still got to put the puck in the net.
Like, oh, yeah, you do.
I mean, no matter
he's
what,
good at that.
You still have to put it in the net. And that curve of his, we'll have to post a picture for people that haven't seen that stick. I've got a couple of
it. We got
I
it.
Mean, it is unbelievable.
Thing is legendary.
But I tell you what, if he was on the goal line, he could shoot it over the net with that curve. You know, I don't even know if you call it a curve, the wedge. I don't know
wedge,
what you call it. It's not really a curve. But he was a hell of a player, man. And he doesn't give himself enough credit, but.
Oh yeah. What a big body.
He was sick, man.
Yeah. Just finish around the net.
Could you imagine? You
couldn't move him.
Yeah.
He's got a bomb too, man.
Could you imagine if he fought?
Oh,
his arms. He's got the wingspan of a 7-foot tall man. I mean, his
arms are extra long. Yeah. He built the fight.
Yeah. Big hands. Like, I'm just like, God, if he got mad, pissed off at someone and grabbed him, whew.
He didn't need to. You know, the big dogs are in a line there. You just grind through and just be a dominant force. But yeah, no, he would have done some damage if he had wanted to tilly it up. But why would you when you're scoring consecutive years 50 plus snipes?
And his, you know, he's I can imagine the aches and pains he must have, because he played in that time where the cross checks were allowed in front of that.
Yeah, he's a different animal.
Big man, but there were big men cross checking him too.
So, yeah, that's the truth.
Man, he was a hell of a player.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Nass, that wraps up the episode 23 with Johnny. Be sure to tune in next week, Knuckleheads, for episode 24. Until then, stay safe. Have a little fun. Enjoy the weather.
See you, Knuckleheads. Howie Steele.
Howie Steele.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.